All right, here we go. So, I mean, stocks kind of go nowhere as investors await the inflation report tomorrow, but there's a lot going on. Gotta talk about Bitcoin, gotta talk about First Solar, Apple, eBay, Beyond Meat, MicroStrategy, and also cocoa futures. So, anyhow, there's a lot going on today that we'll talk about. And if this is your first time here, this show is called Coffee with Marcus and Mark. Usually, I'm in my studio. Right now, I'm traveling, as you can see, in Anaheim, California, on the wrong side of the coast, where it is cold and early. Anyhow, today is February 28th, usually the last day of the month, but this year it's a leap year, so we have another day. All right, with that, let's get started because still waking up here. So do the markets, it seems, Mark.
The markets have, well, can we say the markets have broken? Because it still looks to me like traders and investors are waiting for tomorrow's PCE inflation data. The Dow finishing down 3 days straight, but not a whole lot of movement today, opening lower. But even if you look at the S&P there, you see that after the lower start, the S&P is just kind of plugging along, making its way back to yesterday's close, now down just a point.
Yeah, so if you look at this Monday, Tuesday, no, that's not it. So let's try this again because that was Friday. Today is actually Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday. So there's we see the week. Monday a little bit lower, yesterday diddling along, and today, as you said, opening lower, pushing higher right now. And it's really interesting because I thought that maybe yesterday the consumer confidence might move the markets a little bit more. This morning we have the preliminary GDP that has been released, but it seems that investors are really waiting on the big one, which is tomorrow, the Fed's favorite inflation gate, the core PCE price index.
That's what it looks like. And although there was some red this morning, it looks like we're marching right back. Now, I saw an interesting thing. Have you looked at the Russell? If you pull up like
No.
IWM.
Let's go there. IWM.
So we've traded the wheel strategy on IWM over the last couple of years because IWM kind of left in the dust behind tech and then the S&P 500. And here the Dow's down 3 days straight, and the IWM, the Russell, is up. I think we're working on a 4 day, or if, yeah, there was a 4 day win streak. And we'll see where we end up today. But does it mean that now is the time to buy small caps and to get out of the Magnificent Seven? Because we know the Magnificent Seven has really driven the ROI for the S&P because of their weight. Is small caps to play now?
Yeah, okay, so let's back up for a moment for those who are tuning in for the first time. So the Russell is the small and mid-cap stocks, and this is where there are 2,000 stocks in there. We all know the Dow 30, there's the 30 kind of largest stocks, the largest companies in the US in there. The S&P 500, which is basically 500 companies that are supposed to represent the US economy best. And then we have the Nasdaq, the tech heavy stock. But then, yeah, the Russell kind of flying under the radar. And
Yeah.
since it has been underperforming, as you said, nobody really pays attention because everybody always looks at the big indices. And then, yeah, I said the Magnificent Seven, Microsoft, Apple, Nvidia, Google, Meta, Amazon, and where's Tesla? There. Wait, how many do we have? Now we have eight, right? One, two, three, four, five, six.
No,
No, here we
you're
go.
good. You're good.
We're good. Okay. So this is what everybody kept an eye on. Yeah, but interesting. I didn't even notice this that the Russell is sneaking up here. And yeah, it might be time for rotation to get out of the Magnificent Seven because it's kind of overused at this point.
Yeah, and I think this is something to keep an eye on and watch because the S&P is making all-time highs, the Dow's making all-time highs, the Nasdaq's right there, almost back at record highs that were established back in 2021. But the Russell 2000 still has some room to the upside. Might be something to keep an eye on.
All right. All right. Let's keep an eye on this. And in the meantime, let's take a look at a few individual stocks that are making news. Apple down today. And Apple down today because they basically said yesterday, you know what, we're not making an electric car. We're done with electric cars. We just double down on AI. And this morning, down 0.6%, not significant because I think that investors said, okay, Apple, that's a smart move. I'm a bit surprised that they're not jumping higher. It's probably because they already sunk a few million or billion dollars into this car development that now has to be scrapped and written off. That's probably, but I think for Apple, it's a smart move to stay out of the car business and just keep focusing on AI and virtual reality with their headset.
Honestly, Marcus, I couldn't agree more. I think that this 0.6% drop means that traders actually love that decision. Now, me personally, I would have loved to see what Apple could do with an electric vehicle. I was excited about that, but it just seems like it's a money suck. And I think that the competition there is just tricky, unless they decided to just buy a company that's already in the works. I did not look into this in any way, but I saw a headline about someone talking about Apple and just let's just buy Rivian, right? That would be an interesting move, but I don't think that's what
Apple would do. But Apple is not really known for going on merger and acquisition spree. I mean, yeah. I don't even know when they ever acquired a company. I mean, we know from others, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, I mean, they like to acquire other companies. Apple is not really known for this. They like to have everything in-house.
Agreed.
And develop it from scratch, basically. Hey, speaking of cars, so yesterday, really cool, went to Avis to get a rental car. Guess which one I got? A Dodge Challenger.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to drive around. Of course, yesterday I was standing for an hour and a half in LA traffic, so I don't know. That didn't work out too well.
They're fun.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about eBay. eBay next year, and eBay actually jumping this morning, as we can see, up 8%. I mean, this is a significant move.
Honestly, I didn't even see what. So this was all in earnings, right? I didn't see what the headlines were for eBay.
No, it's not only earnings. I mean, earnings came in better than expected, but then they say that they will raise their dividends and they're also announcing a $2 billion buyback program. So a buyback program always means, okay, the company has enough money and now they're buying their own stock back. So they're investing in themselves. That's great. Together with the dividend hike, I mean, this is where this morning investors are loving it, up 8%.
That's huge. That's huge for eBay. Big move there. Earnings beat. But yeah, that when a company does a big buyback like that, that's good for the stock.
Yeah. First Solar, FSLR. We always keep an eye on solar stocks here because we are in CSIQ. And First Solar, better than expected earnings. We're jumping as high as, I believe it was 8 or 9%, right now pulling back, but still up 3.5%. On, better than expected earnings. Down in revenue, but earnings came in pretty good.
Yeah, this was a nice report because it does seem like now we're a little bit mixed on just the earning or the solar sector in general, where we have had some negatives, we have had some positives. I'll take that compared to the rough second half of last year, but not really helping CSIQ today.
Yeah, not yet. And we'll talk about our positions in a moment, but also Beyond Meat. I mean, geez, look at this. Beyond Meat this morning up 47% after reporting earnings.
This is just huge. And I know that there were many, many people short Beyond Meat and have been short. So not happy if you were short this one going into earnings.
Yeah, because, I mean, Beyond Meat, we talked about it because this where it came up on the wheel scanner, I think a couple of years ago. And we always said, okay, let's stay away from this because Beyond Meat, they had these spikes whenever somebody announced a partnership with them. At some point it was McDonald's, at some point it was Starbucks, at some point it was a grocery store. That's when they had the spikes, but then it got really, really quiet around Beyond Meat because there are many, many plant-based alternatives right now. I mean, last night we went to a supermarket and there were just a whole section of plant-based food, which is not only Beyond Meat. And therefore, yeah, I'm not surprised that they fell from $2.25 to $7 or something like this. But now up, $10, a pretty good jump here.
Yeah, and I mean, this is where, when we're looking at the wheel strategy in particular, we want to trade a company that is proven and stable, and Beyond Meat just hasn't been profitable. Of course, you know, it was a new industry, I guess, and they were leading the way at first, but then when you have competition pick up, kind of like with Peloton, right? You have this super hype at the beginning, but then the competition gets tough, and you have to really, really have some groundwork done before the competition kicks in.
Yeah. All right. Now we have to talk about Bitcoin. Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. Look at this move here. I mean, a few days ago, we reported, okay, Bitcoin above 52,000, Bitcoin above 56,000, Bitcoin above 60,000. I mean, this is what we have in the description, because a few minutes ago, Bitcoin was above 60,000. Now Bitcoin above 61,000. I mean, making a multi-year high here. What's happening with the cryptocurrencies here?
Yeah, this is... This has been quite a year so far, up 45% in just 2 months this year. Gosh, if you go back to the beginning of 2023, you're up almost 300%. So what a ride here. Anything particular here on this one, Marcus?
I don't know. Maybe this is a delayed reaction to the ETFs that have launched in the cryptocurrency space. Because initially there was some excitement when everybody heard about, okay, ETFs that regular stock and options traders, or mainly stock traders, could participate in cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin here, without opening a cryptocurrency account. But then we also saw that this excitement fizzled a little bit. Let's actually move back to a daily chart. So the excitement then fizzled out a little bit, and it almost seemed like buy the rumor, sell the facts. But now, I mean, nothing really that I see is contributing to the move other than risk on.
Yeah, and initially we saw, like you said, that when the spot ETF, when the multiple ETFs were offered, you had a bit of a pullback, and that's exactly what we expected. But I believe that at this point, it's really just two things. One, there's a lot of money going into these ETFs now, right? So you have money going into these ETFs, but then also just people getting excited again and piling in because they see it's on the move. Be careful there.
Sometimes it works. I mean, I need to log into my Coinbase account. I bought cryptocurrencies a few years back. Can't remember when exactly. And for me, it was a long-term hold. So this were, you know how with the cryptocurrency accounts, you get the authenticators on your iPhone because everybody has to be super safe. Switched iPhones, lost the authenticator app that I had with this. So now I have to send them, I don't know, a passport or driver's license. So I have to go through a complicated process. But now it might be worth looking at it because I can't remember even exactly where I bought it, but definitely lower than where it is right now. So that account should be nicely up. Well, I'll keep a close on that. Okay. So final thing before we go to our positions, Coco. Did you see what happened in Coco? Coco futures?
I did not.
Oh my gosh. Look at this. So here are Coco futures. Let's take a look at a weekly chart. I mean, this is where in 2022, we were trading around $2,200 per, I don't even know, probably bushels or something like this. And right now it has doubled. And over the last few weeks, as you can see here, just cocoa creeping up higher and higher and higher, meaning that our chocolate gets more expensive. Let's see what Hershey thinks about that. Yeah, you see, with cocoa prices going higher, Hershey's stock moving lower here over the last few weeks. I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, but then again, Hershey inside traders are hedging like crazy right now.
Yeah, probably. All right, let's take a look at our position. So at this point, we don't have any WTF trades open. We don't have any new WTF trades. So nothing here that popped up for us. This way, we can just focus on our wheel positions. Now, we are in four positions, and we are looking for a fifth position. But right now, with markets not going anywhere, I want to wait on what happens tomorrow. Because if PCE comes in hotter than expected, I mean, this is where we can see a drop in the market. And I think then tomorrow could be shopping day. The PCE report will be released before market open. So I think that would be good. So I'm not rushing into anything today.
Marcus, I'm in the same camp here. There have been a couple of maybes this week, but for me, I would have been okay putting on a trade if I saw something that looked great. I just didn't see anything that looked great. And quite honestly, there really hasn't been a whole lot of volatility, right? So without a whole lot of volatility, premiums are lower. And hopefully with tomorrow, either it's out of the way and open positions rally, or we get a little bit of a pullback, some volatility, and a great opportunity to add another position.
Yeah, so that's what we're waiting for right now, especially since the markets have been diddling. CSIQ, not feeling the love from First Solar, down 1.2% here. But I mean, this is where really I want to see what happens when they report earnings, which is in only 15 days from now.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what investors are waiting for. So other companies have reported, but show me the money, CSIQ. Let's see what you got.
Yep, let's do this. And then we have GDXJ. GDXJ, a little bit down here, a percent this morning. We own shares at 33. So we sold calls against our existing shares. And right now it is super close for me to close these calls, because I like to close a position at 90% of max profits. And last time I checked, I was at 88% of max profits. Have you already closed your position here?
I was just pulling it up to see if that has been the case, but I do have an order to close at 2 cents.
Yep.
And well,
same for me. Last traded price was 3 cents.
Okay, Ben, in that case, and yes, I still have those calls. So close. But yeah.
Great. And then maybe we can double dip, because there could be a small rally tomorrow, as we have seen just last Friday. And this when we were able to sell calls again against our existing position. So let's see what happens here tomorrow. Again, a lot of things hinges on tomorrow. And same here with NEE, down 0.5% right now. So not a whole lot hanging out here in this range right now. It seems between what, around 55 and I want to say 58, right? And this is where the 58 level here previously has been support. Now it is resistance. So I mean, at some point we need to break above the 58. And again, with tomorrow, NEE could make a move.
That's what we're hoping for.
All right. And then finally, UPS higher again, and it is the battle around 148. That is the line in the sand for UPS here. And let me just draw the line again. As we can see, again, previously support, resistance, then it turned into a little bit of support. Right now, we are hoping for that it remains support and keeps marching higher here.
It looks like it's holding up here. So just needs some motivation, and tomorrow's report could be that motivation we need.
Yeah. So I really think that tomorrow, a lot hinges on the report. I'm a little bit surprised that today volatility, the fear index, the VIX, is only up 0.5 percentage point. I would expect it to move up higher, because there should be some uncertainty about tomorrow's report, but it just hanging in there, still very low levels.
It is, and that's why there just hasn't been a lot popping up for us. So would love to see a spike here. Let's get a little more volatility, have some fun.
Yeah. So let's also take a final look here at the probabilities of a rate cut right now, still pointing to probably more towards July, I want to say. And again, this can change tomorrow. That's why I wanted to bring it up. Right now, nobody thinks that the Fed will lower rates here in the March meeting. Most Fed fund traders believe that they will keep rates the same in the May meeting. And then I believe that tomorrow we might see a change in probabilities for the June and the July meeting.
I agree. And it does look like the June is shifting a little bit. So to July, right? Yeah. So we'll see.
All right. With that said, let's take a final look here at the markets and where we are right now. Did the S&P fill the gap because it opened lower and then was pushing higher? Let's see what we can do here on the hotel Wi-Fi. Yeah, it did. It did fill the gap to yesterday's closing price and right now pulling back a little bit. So as we can see, the markets in general, the Dow Jones down almost 0.2%, the S&P just flat, and the NASDAQ down 0.3%. And where's IWM today? Let's see. Hotel Wi-Fi. There we go. Also down 0.5%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody waiting for tomorrow. So absolutely, you want to tune in tomorrow. Don't miss that. I'll get up early for you guys. So anyhow, if you enjoyed today's show, give us a like. We really appreciate all of your likes. If you feel that others could benefit from this information, please feel free to share it with others. And then we'll see you again tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
Happy trading, everybody.